Take your Bibles to Ezekiel, if you will. Ezekiel 22. And we have a familiar passage of Scripture here in Ezekiel chapter 22, especially as we get down to verse 30. In verse 30, it's going to say, I sought for a man among them. And we're going to see God seeking for a man. And I want us to speak this evening on the potential solution. Just as God searching for a man was the potential solution for the problems of Israel, that's still true today. God's still looking for men. Now, let me say, I praise God for our ladies. Of course, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. So if you're a married man, you certainly have a lot to thank the Lord for. But let me say, when it comes to a church, God wants men to step up and be leaders. Amen. Well, we're living in a day where some churches are trying to decide if being a pastor is only for a man or being a pastor is also for a woman. Well, let me say the Word of God's pretty clear about that. The Bible wants a man to step up. And so we as men are gathered here tonight in a good crowd of men. But let me just say that God wants every one of us to get involved. For a man, it's not enough to come to church. We've got to get plugged in. We've got to get plugged in. Every man needs to find a place to serve. I mean, teenagers on up. Because it's only as we serve. That's why I love to hear those teen boys sing and the teen girls sing and the teen ensembles and the teen choir. And I love to hear the children sing. Sooner they get plugged into God's work, the more blessed their life will become. God wants to use every one of us. But I want us to see, first of all, in this passage, I want us to see the context of the passage and see that these were desperate times in which God was looking for a man. Starting at verse 23, if you will. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, that is Israel, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. And they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned of them. You can see that we live in that same day where people put no difference between the unclean and the clean. In fact, that which is wrong they're calling right, and that which is right they're calling wrong. We are living in desperate times ourselves. And in verse 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. How do you get into office being moderately rich and then get out of office being extremely wealthy? How does that happen? I don't think that's what it's meant to be, is it? No, but we see that happening. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, and have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And here it is, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Oh boy, that's sad, isn't it? I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have with these men, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts and give us a truth that would help us And help us individually, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we see several things that are taking place in the context of God searching for a man in verse 30. First of all, we find a land that is polluted. It says the land not cleansed, a polluted land. I don't think he's talking about environmental stuff. It's not that he saw trash on the land, but he saw ungodliness throughout the land. That's what pollutes the land. We have a crazy idea when we think that it's what we discard that pollutes this world. No, it's the sin that abounds that pollutes this world. Now, certainly as Christians, we want to clean up mess, right? We want to clean that up and we want to do things right. But the pollution that God's speaking of is the sin that's running rampant throughout the land. It's a polluted land. It's a poverty-stricken land. It's the land not rained upon, it says. You go without rain, you have poverty. You have famine. And that was the condition of the day. We have posing prophets. That's false prophets. Posing prophets. And it says they prophesy according to their own will, and they speak when the Lord hath not spoken. You know, we ought to thank God for every preacher around America that stands and preaches, thus saith the Lord, and he's got a Bible verse to back it up. He's not saying, thus saith the Lord, and no reference given. My opinions are not God's words. God's words are God's words. And so we need to make sure that we're teaching and we're preaching, thus saith the Lord. Then we have the perverted priest that says they've violated my law. They profane my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. I saw a picture a few months ago of a preacher who was blessing the opening of a Planned Parenthood abortion place. Now, I don't want people in that place to get hurt. I don't want to hurt the workers. I want to be a blessing and lead workers to Christ. But I'm not going to be promoting the killing of babies. And so we have a strange world in which we live in. Used to be things like, let me just say we have lady priests who have their girlfriend as their wife. We have men who have their boyfriend as their husband. I'm just saying it's a sad day when you hear of those things going on under the realm of church. Church. Somebody is perverting the truth for that to happen under the guise of church. And so you have the perverted priest. Then you have the profit-hunting princes. They're in it for their own pocket, how they can fill their own pocket. They're in it for gain, personal gain. And I think that anyone who runs for office, it ought to be an honorable thing. But sad to say, it only takes a few to get in there and start gaining profit to make it look poorly. And the same thing happens in the priesthood. The same thing happens in the pulpit. It only takes a few to make all preachers look bad. So let me say, and I said priesthood, of course, I'm talking about preachers. But let me say that we're living a strange day. And I think all of us are aware of that. I think God's given us a space of grace. I don't know how long that will last. But the people weren't any better. They were pernicious people, evil people. Then you had people-pleasing prophets, dabbed them with untempered mortar, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. I'm just saying it was a terrible day. Now here's God's potential solution. I sought for a man. And let me say that whatever this world is, you and I are still the answer. And you're the answer that God's looking for. And that doesn't mean you have to be a preacher or a missionary or evangelist or something like that. But every one of us is called to be a voice for God. Every one of us is called to be a man of God. Years ago, they used to call men, the pastors, men of the cloth. Well, we're not men of the cloth, but we ought to be men of God. And that's the solution. And God's solution always involves a person. It's never a denomination. It's never even a whole church. The answer to this area is not Grandview Baptist Church. The answer to this area is the good Christians that are a part of Grandview Baptist Church and the good Christians that are a part of every good Bible-believing church. And there's a lot of them scattered throughout this area. Christians who put Christ first and stand on the Word of God. That's the solution. Individually. Not collectively as a church, but individually, God wants to use each and every one of us. For the flood, it was Noah. For the promise, it was Abraham. For the people, it was Gideon. For the Christ child, it was Mary. God uses men and women. For the spreading of the gospel, it was the Apostle Paul. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. It says, run all over Jerusalem, but find me a man. Find me a man. Well, I think I'm looking at men that God can use tonight. God wants to use each one of us. And I don't know how long Christ will tarry before He comes back, but we're to be faithful till He comes. Occupy till I come, Jesus told us. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 38, it says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And of course, that was Joseph. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Joseph was used to spare more people's lives than anyone on the face of the earth. Jesus has saved more people's souls, but Joseph was used to save a nation and nations from famine. God used him in a special way. God used a man. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, now in the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong thereof, and show thyself a man. Solomon was going to be the next king, and David says, son, act like a man. And that's what you and I need. I don't know about you, but I grew up in that era where your father would say, son, be a man. You'd be a junior boy, but they'd say, be a man, be a man. Shake hands like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man. And fathers would teach you those little things. Be a man. But what God's saying is be a man of God. Be a man for God. What does it take to be that man? I want to share just three simple things. It takes, first of all, a man that's humble. God cannot use a pride-filled man. And many times that's our downfall as men. We look in the mirror and we see Superman without his cape. Our wives look at us and say, she doesn't see the same thing. We look at other men, we don't see the same thing. But somehow we have this exaggerated opinion of ourselves. It's pride. It's the ego that rests inside of a man. The Bible says we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And the truth is, when you really know yourself, it's easy to be humble. When you know who God is and you know who you are, it's real easy. That's right. But God uses humility. And the more we can humble ourselves, the more God can use us. Our pride is what prevents God's power. Our yielding in humility is what God's power gravitates to. Paul said it this way, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we think we can handle it, God will let us try. How many know that you can fall flat on your face as a man? Yes, you can. But it's when we get to the place where we say, "God, I can't do it. You'll have to do it," that God loves to show His power through a humble man. Now, there's many different scriptures that will reinforce that. I want to just read a few of them. Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Matthew 23:12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You see, in God's economy, the way up is down. The more you humble self, the more God can use you. James 4:10, "Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God," or "humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." And I got that confused with 1 Peter 5:6 that says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." In due time. If you just have a humble attitude, God can use you, and He'll use you just the time He needs you. You have to be a humble man. I want to say, secondly, when it comes to a church especially, we need to be a man that's available. A man that's available. And I want to take just a little time right here and say that God wants to use every single one of us. God doesn't want us just in church. He wants us plugged in. You can have a beautiful lamp with a wonderful cord, but if it's not plugged into the socket and turned on, it's of little use. It's just a pretty that sits there. But it's only as it's plugged into the power source and turned on that it produces the light that you need to see or to read with. Now, God wants all of us to be plugged into a church. And honestly, It doesn't matter whether it's a church of 20 or 20,000. Whatever church we're a part of, God wants us to be plugged in. What happens if we're not plugged in? We sit and we soak and we sour. God doesn't want us to sit and soak and sour. He wants us to sit and soak and serve. Serve. Serve the Lord. That's the whole goal of it. Isaiah 6:8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Oh, I love that about Isaiah. He said, "Lord, here I am." Remember, God had taken a coal from off the altar with some tongs and touched it to his tongue and cleaned him. He was a man of unclean lips, and the Lord touched his tongue. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I says, "Here am I, send me." I don't know about you, but I have a heart's desire to serve God. I'm not going to pastor this church forever, but I'm going to serve the Lord forever. Amen. I'm going to be an usher, or I'm going to get me one of those outfits, and I'll be out in the parking lot greeting. I want to do something for God. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I have this one shot to give it everything I have for Christ. And I want to give it all I've got. I want to give all I've got till I have no more to give. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9. "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." And you recall, again, he heard the voice, "Samuel! Samuel!" Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, we don't need to do what a man tells us to do. All we have to do is be yielded to God and listen to His voice, and His Holy Spirit will direct us right to the right place to serve. I love to be given suggestions. I love to be given counsel. But when it's all said and done, every one of us has to follow God's will for our lives. What is it that the Spirit of God says to your heart? What does the Spirit of God want you to do? How does He want you to get involved? We have to be humble men, but we also have to be available. Romans 12:1 says it this way, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So letting God use us is our reasonable service. So I want to stop right here and mention there are many different ways that we can be used of God as men in our church. One is we can greet everyone that God brings on this property. I believe this, and I say this often to our staff, I believe that anyone steps foot on this property, they ought to be met by someone who can say truly, we care about you. I hope that everyone who comes on this property feels loved. Honestly, I know people who park their 18-wheeler truck, you know, on this property, but I hope they say, man, I feel loved while I'm here. I don't know. I just believe that God's presence can be around a place because of God's people that you can just sense. Many years ago, we just had the first building, and it was one of those winters where we had a bad snow, and it was about 5, 6, 7 inches of snow around this area. The parking lot was full. And for one of the first times in forever, we had to call off church on a Sunday morning. I told my wife, I said, well, honey, I'm going to walk up there. I don't want to drive the car. I'm going to walk up there and just see if anyone comes, and I'll let them know. And sure enough, we had someone come that morning, and they came from Colton. I'm thinking, Colton's a lot higher than elevation here. It's got to have a lot more snow. I said, well, didn't you have a lot of snow? He said, yeah, but I got four-wheel drive, so I made it. I think, whoa, go pick up everybody else. We'll have church. So we were just saying, we were standing around there. And this guy was new to our church. He had only been a few months, and he was involved in a type of we had a special class back then, not for addictions, but people who had been in jail before, and we'd bring people. He came on his own, but he'd go to that class, and he was standing there, and we were talking, and then he said, can't you feel it? And I'm not really a spooky Christian. I don't just feel things, you know. He said, can't you feel it? And I thought, what are you talking about? He said, every time I come into this place, I feel God's presence. I said, I don't know that I feel it, but I know it's here. Because we pray for it all the time that God's presence would be here. And I know it from the Word of God, wherever two or three are gathered together. I know it's there. I know the Holy Spirit's there. But he said, I just feel it every time I come in. I thought, praise the Lord. You know, we can love on people. For a man, that's a hard thing to do. But I think you'll find that one thing that men lack are real friends. We don't have many friends in our life. And so nothing's more wonderful than a warm handshake from a man that says, it's so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you came today. Men all over are seeking for friendship. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we find that in Christ. But the Bible wants us to be fellow laborers together with Christ. That means we are laborers together with Christ. You are my brother in Christ, and I need to respond accordingly. I need to let you know I feel that. And I'm proud to be your brother in Christ. I'm proud of you. The Bible says we're to edify one another. And the word edify means to build up. This world tries to tear us down, but we ought to try to build each other up. And kind words can do that. Kind words. Boy, it's so good to see you. God bless you, Philip. Hope you had a great day. Oh, Sean, it's so good to see you. God bless you. I heard about you leading someone to Christ. Good job. God used you today. Anything that we can be used of God to encourage our brother, we're simply a conduit through which God can flow. That's what God wants, us to be a conduit through which He can flow through us to others. And say the words that Jesus would say if He were here in your place. The Bible says in Hebrews, as He is, so are we in the world. In other words, I'm His representative and I ought to be doing the things that Christ would do were He here today at this time in this place. Several places we need some help, and one of the things we're having a hard time getting is enough greeters in the parking lot. Why do we need parking lot greeters? Well, because we want people to know when you drive on this property, we care about you. We don't need people to say, this is the place to park. We got plenty of spaces available, okay? We don't need... So a parking lot greeter is not one that says, pull in here. Now, there may be special functions 2 or 3 times a year where that's needed. Oh, yeah, pull in here. But for the most part, they can see the empty spots. But we need someone to shake their hand when they get out of the door. We need someone who will carry stuff for a lady if she's carrying a baby in a bag and all sorts of stuff. We need people who will stand there and shake hands and say, good to have you. And not just to visitors, but all of our people ought to be welcomed and greeted. And as soon as they step on the property, I love coming Sunday morning and looking and seeing Skip Weisenhaus at the entrance just waving. I love to see that. But we need to see that all over. I saw Jeremy this morning in his place and he's greeting people. But honestly, we need about 4 or 5 every single time. Every 8:30 service, every 11 o'clock service, and every 5 o'clock service, there should be people that are greeting people. You say, could I do that? Yes. All you have to do is put on orange jackets. That is the color, right?
Yellow.
I said it right first. Put on one of those yellow jackets and just go like this. If you can't do that, just get a sign that says, hi. Hello. Good to have you. Teenage boys could do that. All of us could find a place. Now, you can't do that and be on a bus route at the same time. You can't do that and maybe sing in the choir at the same time. You can't do that and be an usher at the same time. But if you don't have a place to serve, that's a wonderful place to serve. When I'm not preaching on a Sunday morning and I'm here, I get one of those yellow jackets. I get out in the parking lot and I get to wave at people. And sometimes people say, is that you, Pastor? Yeah, it's me. Listen, I just want a place to serve. And all of us need to do that. And so let me challenge you. And if you could be used of God in that, just to greet people, check with John Hoxie. He'll put you right where he's in charge of all that. He's always looking for good men, teenage boys. You could be brand new to the church and you can stand in the parking lot and say, hi. Anybody could do that. We need men. We need help in that area. So let me encourage you to pray about being a greeter in the parking lot. And then, of course, greeters inside. Jay and Jeannie Robinson have coordinated that for a long time and been in charge of that and getting people to greet at the doors. I love to see our people greeting. What a blessing that is. If you want to be an usher, and we're always in need of ushers because you always have to have backups. People go on vacation. You need someone to fill this spot. You need to check with Steve Wilkerson. Steve, where are you at? Right there in the back. Now, Steve is in charge of all the ushers. He's in charge of the Lord's Supper and getting men together to do all that. So let me encourage you to be an available man. Find a place to serve. We've got to be a humble man. We've got to be available man. And then we have to be a man of faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now here's what I know. I know God will provide everything we need here at Grandview Baptist Church. I know that. I just don't know when He's going to provide it. I just don't know how He's going to provide. And I found out that His timetable is certainly not my timetable. But I've been here for 35 years and I've seen Him provide time after time after time after time. Never on my schedule, but always on His. And I'm here to tell you that God has a way of providing, because God always knows what the need is. He always knows what the need is. I know what the perceived need is, but Jesus actually knows what the need is. Now, I know God's going to provide. I just don't know always how. This morning, as I was going to Sunday school on my way, a lady stopped me and said, "Pastor, I have something for you, and I hope you'll just use this any way that God wants you to." I thought, vacation? No, I didn't think that. It was a check for $5,000. "Go and do thou likewise." That's a good Bible verse, but anyway. But I looked at that and I said, God knows the needs of our church. She said, "Use it anyway, anywhere it's needed." Well, I got about 20 places it's needed, but I put it in one. If anyone tells me that, I put it right into the general fund. That's where I put it. And so this morning I just handed it into the 11 o'clock service with my check. And so God has a way of meeting needs. You got to believe that God will for your household. You got to believe that God will for your marriage. You got to believe that God will for your children. You got to believe that God will for your life. And have faith. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how God's going to put it all together. I wish I knew. But I do believe. And God wants men of faith that will trust Him. Sometimes you look at your work and you think it's not enough. But you know there's a God in heaven that can just open up the windows of heaven anytime He wants to. New jobs, new opportunities, new things. God knows your need and you can trust Him. When we head our homes, when you're the head of a home, you have to be a man that looks at your wife and looks at your children and says, "It's going to be okay. God's got this." And then you get in your prayer closet and you say, "God, do you have that? I mean, you really got this, don't you?" But when it comes to your wife and your kids, you got to be a man of faith. I think so often I'm like the man who brought his demonic son to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said this. He said, "If thou canst believe, All things are possible. Here's his answer. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That is probably the story of all of us. Lord, I believe. I hope so. I know so. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I just know you're in charge of my life. And it's going to be okay. I wish I could say to everyone that has cancer, you're going to be okay. I don't know that. But I know that all of our lives are in the palm of God's hand. And we're going to be okay. We're going to be just fine. Whatever happens, we're going to be good. I want to challenge you to be God's man. God sought for a man among them. I think if he were looking tonight at Grandview Baptist Church at this crowd of men, I think he'd find every one of us are available. I think he'd see that every one of us is humble. And I think he sees that every one of us have faith. We're not much, but we know God is. And we're trusting Him. And fellows, if we can do that as a family of believers, if we can do that as men in our church, there is no end to what God could do in our church, through our church, throughout this area, for the cause of Christ. I have no ambition to be a big church. I have an ambition to affect people for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Touching lives for Christ. And let's let God use us. If you can help in the greeting in the parking lot, check with Brother Hoxie. If you can check in the greeting inside where it's warmer and out of the rain, then check with Brother Jay Robinson. If you can help as an usher and help and fill one of the doors or one of the slots, check with Steve Wilkerson. If you can help with being a Sunday school teacher, an adult Sunday school teacher, check with me. Elementary Sunday school teacher, check with Skip Weissenhaus. He's always in need of some teachers. Amen? We're getting a lot of kids. We need more and more teachers. God can use you. I hope you'll be like Isaiah and says, here am I, send me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these men. I thank you for their heart. What a joy it is to be their pastor and see the growth in their lives, their walk with the Lord. And Lord, I pray you'll bless them as they lead and guide their homes. Give them good health. Provide for them financially. I pray that you'd help them be spiritual leaders in every endeavor. Help us to be through and through men of God. Now, Father, I'm not saying perfect men because you know how we fail you. But Lord, you're not looking for perfect men. You're looking for yielded men. And so help us to thus be yielded to you, to be used of you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.